Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Time now for Laird and Fitzy. Ken Laird and Nick Fitzy Stevens, right here on EEI.
All right, this is not Ken Laird and the Laird. I'm sorry. I apologize. A million apologies. The Fitzy and Laird show. This is not Ken Laird. This is Rob Bradford along with the great Nick Fitzy Stevens. Fitzy, what's going on?
What? Who are you and what have you done with Ken Laird? Ken, you sound different today.
He is. First of all, we're going to do the top five reasons why Ken Laird is not here today.
Surface it up. Yeah, that's right. We'll get some views on that one. Dot combination rolls on, baby.
We will surface that. Number one is hair restoration. I don't want to spoil it, but when you see him next, he is going to have a luscious head of hair.
Wow. Yes. I mean, honestly, first of all, I'm thrilled to be doing 3 hours of Saturday sports talk on one of my favorite weekends of the year, Bradfo. I kid you not. Divisional round weekend to me. I always like to equate celebratory sports weekends with holidays. And to me, divisional round weekend, up until they introduced the super wild card weekend last weekend, I've always thought divisional round weekend, this is Thanksgiving. And AFC-NFC Championship Sunday next week, that's Christmas, and the Super Bowl is like New Year's, kind of an amateur holiday, still to be celebrated, always enjoyed, but a bit of an amateur holiday. This is a spectacular sports fan weekend, and I am thrilled to be doing 3 hours on a lovely Saturday with you, getting pumped up for what should be four phenomenal football games.
What is the Arbor Day of the NFL schedule for you?
Oh, what's that? Oh, NHL opening day.
Oh, there you go. There you
Not
go.
A big hockey guy. Nah. All right. I enjoy me some Bruins. All respect to the great Uncle Dale Arnold. Not a big hockey guy.
But yeah, listen. I mean, it was electric. It was the Bruins season. There is so much buzz in the air. And when I say there's so much buzz in the air, there is no buzz in the air. I'm sorry.
Oh, where were you when Nick Ritchie scored the other
night? Oh, my goodness. I did find out. What's the name? And Bridget, you would know this. What's the name of the guy, Wood, who scored against the Bruins the other day? What's his name?
Ed.
Know. Ed Wood, he not only is a premier winger, but he also makes a great B-level movie.
That's right. Cut. Perfect. Print. We're on to the next scene. Well, Glenda exiting the store.
Well, anyway, so...
It's Miles Wood.
Miles Wood. Of course, Miles Wood. So I didn't realize this, but the Starbucks...
Morning.
The Starbucks that I go into, Miles Wood hangs out there as well.
And get
so,
out.
Yes. And so one of the takeaways from the other night, the buzz at Starbucks... was that nobody knew that Miles Wood didn't have his two front teeth. That was the takeaway, because we saw him play against the Bruins, mm-hmm. Manchester seized by the own, son of Randy Wood, former NHL star. Miles Wood does not have his teeth. So there you go.
He has half of each tooth, but not a full tooth.
Well, we didn't even know that. We had no knowledge at the Starbucks about any of his, that he had any loss of teeth.
Wow.
So there you go. As we said, Fitzy, there's a ton of buzz about the NHL and the Bruins. But despite that, we're going to get mm-hmm. into your Christmas, your Thanksgiving, your holiday. And I have mm-hmm. this question for you, my friend.
Please.
Which is, if you are so excited about this,
mm-hmm.
is there more of an excitement now than if the Patriots were in it or had been in it? In other words, if the Patriots lost last week, and you were going through the playoffs, and you're like, yay, divisional round, yay, championship round, yay, Super Bowl. But my sense is that it's even more exciting for you right now, because that is so far in the rear view, and we're just like enjoying the great game of football. and not sad about the Patriots, right? Correct?
Yes. Now, see, all of my emotions, by the time the Patriots were mathematically eliminated on December 20th against the Dolphins in the South Beach House of Horrors, I was mostly numbed by the difficulty that the Patriots had scoring the football. Had nothing to do with the Brady Belichick debate. So many people want to get into that. Who won? Who's ahead? Who was right? Who was wrong?
I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, I have never heard that debate before.
No, I've never
written about
never
it or pleaded with people to write about it. No, never.
Of course not. Just because Tom Brady outclicked Cam Newton 3-1 this season. Why would we ever?
3-1.
What was the run on your side of the tracks?
I mean, it was, I think the top 20, and we aren't alone because I talked to other people at other sites. The top 20 stories for the last month, in the last couple months, 18 of them were Tom Brady related. 18.
Good gravy.
18. And that's why I do want to talk a little bit about Tom Brady. But that aside,
we have to. Saw the TV ratings were down 26%, and the Brady game ratings were up because fans had decided once they couldn't watch their own team anymore, or rather, once the stakes had been eliminated for this particular team, this iteration of the Belichickriots, then everybody decided to turn on Tampa Bay. And I'm watching for the same reason. I'm watching now, first of all, because this is stress-free football. Lifetime football fan. I'll be a cradle-to-grave, great gridiron fan. That's just how I'm going to go.
But that's what I mean, Fitzy. That's what I mean. A year ago, you were still licking your wounds.
It was miserable.
Yeah.
It was miserable. I would say the last fun Patriots playoff game was Super Bowl 53, because obviously there was no joy in their wild card defeat last year at the hands of the Titans, and Tom Brady's final two games at Gillette being losses, his final pass at the stadium being a pick six for Logan Ryan. I don't even think of that. I almost stopped thinking now of Brady in the playoffs for the Patriots at Super Bowl 53. And that final season was almost like a contractual obligation that just had to play out. But there were some highs and lows during that season as well, but to me now, the chance to just watch the sport that you love so much, and whether you want to like play a little fantasy along with it, if you're doing like some squares every weekend with your buddies, lay some action like Chris Scheim, who's helped me lose half my family fortune, plus both stimulus checks this fall.
I don't know what you're talking about.
With all that, that's great. And then you get Tampa Bay. Now, Bradfo, there seems to be a split in our audience, though, in terms of people that are not just like people that are rooting for Tom Brady because screw you, Belichick, and you never should have let him go in the first place. That was so dumb. And then like, oh, man, I can't believe he bailed on us. That's ridiculous. Like, it's not that. I feel like people are watching Brady now because of how compelling the storyline is. And even though there's probably national Brady fatigue, I feel like a lot of people are watching just because they want, like, out of curiosity at this point.
He's
like,
the biggest story. Fitzy, he's the biggest story.
How far can he go?
He's the biggest storyline of the playoffs right now. Right? Correct? I mean, I'm not even talking about New England. I'm talking about overall, he is the biggest storyline. And it speaks to what
obnoxiously
you're...
Obnoxiously so, yes.
You are scratching right where I itch, because this is what I wanted to talk about, and I'm going to be a very unpopular... I get the sense, if we put up the Twitter poll on the show account, I'm sure the Fitzy and Laird show has a Twitter page. Yes? No?
Well, we were on Parler, but we kicked
off. Oh, so close. So close. but you... The two most disappointed people about Parler going away, or sorry, three people: Trump, you guys, and the MyPillow guy.
I was on the phone with Mike Lindell not an hour ago. I could tell. You know what though? I was like, Mike, I gotta go. It sounds like you're just reading from notes.
Can I just say a quick aside? I had never, ever, ever, ever in the history of journalism seen that move of, we have a photo of the guy's notes and we zoomed in and we're going to read what it said. God bless whoever took that photo and blew it. You know what I'm talking about? Walking out of Trump's office.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, and so this was a moment in our country's history when the MyPillow guy walked out with his note. So anyway,
well, I mean, hey, Bradfo, who among us though, whether we're taking a meeting in the Oval Office or just sort of, you know, spinning sports on a Saturday afternoon, easy breezy on EEI, who among us doesn't walk, you know, come in prepared with show prep and notes, right?
Never show the notes to the camera. You know
that's
that.
Good point. That's good. That's
never
good point.
Do that. That's
for example, in studio, I always hide my laptop. I don't want people that are on like the EEI stream or Twitch seeing, you know, the fact that I might be buying something on Amazon during the commercial break, or what I might have to say, or emails I'm composing. No, you never show the notes, never show the prep. You never turn on someone else's radio. You never tug at Superman's cape. You don't doubt Tom Brady. And of course, never reveal the notes.
By the way, we do have breaking news. Miles Wood just had a fight.
Yeah, 20 seconds into the game, he has already had a fight with Kevin Miller.
So when we were talking...
There we go. We knew it was going to... Well, wow, Dale called it. Unbelievable.
Just when I report that he was missing at least partially two of his front teeth, now I can't even say that's accurate because he may have lost a third tooth. We will get we will effort that information for you.
He picked a fight with one of the Bruins guys who's an MMA fighter, so...
Yeah, Kevin Miller's kind of a big guy. That was a presence that they missed last year, I know, to go back to the, you know, the sizzling hockey buzz. But I'm the din is so loud, I'm surprised you guys can even hear me from the remote broadcast location. But honestly, Kevin Miller is just a big, bad man. And I admire Miles Wood for just deciding, for throwing down with Kevin Miller to get the game going today. And Bradfo, isn't it a prerequisite to be a hockey player? You have to, like, be missing at least a tooth?
Yeah, but that is correct. But still, it is amazing when you see the person sipping on their Venti Emperor's Cloud at Starbucks. You see them with a full set of teeth. It's somewhat shocking. But listen, the mean streets of Manchester by the Sea, you know this, Fitzy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't mess with those kids.
No.
Do not mess with the North Shore kids. No.
Don't ever mess with them. It's like the prerequisite. It's like, you know, to play hockey, you have to be missing at least two teeth. To be a contestant on Top Chef, you have to have at least two of your arms covered completely in tattoos. Like, that's the way it goes.
So true.
By the way, the Bruins picked up Craig Smith in the offseason. He made his debut today. He's also missing a lot of teeth. So,
Is Craig Smith missing multiple teeth?
Yeah, he came in with all his teeth, and somewhere along the line before the first game, he lost a few of them.
How do you lose teeth in the offseason?
I don't know. He did it.
Usually you pick up teeth in the off season.
Yeah.
So
everybody knows that's when you do your...
I know that we're going to get back to Brady, but because we're talking about teeth, I listened to a Ben Affleck podcast last night, and he said, I know, like, look at me. So educated and going outside the realm of sports.
Wow.
But
how refined.
What's his name? The producer, Bruckheimer, right? Jerry Bruckheimer.
Jerry Bruckheimer, yeah.
He told him when Affleck tried out for Armageddon that he had to fix his teeth, and told him to go get his teeth fixed and the studio would pay for it. Words that he had leaned on years upon years upon years, just let the studio pay for it. I want to get to that point, Fitzy. Just let the studio pay for it.
That's what I always say. Whenever we know that there's something that needs to be repaired, or we're, you know, back when we could actually be out in the field reporting on sports or me talking to the fans, I would always just say, just, you know, let the station pay for
it. Or fixing your teeth. But you know who has perfect teeth? Tom Brady. And so, like what you were saying before.
I hope they're his, because everything else doesn't look like it belongs to Tom.
Yeah, I was very proud of my tweet when they put up the picture of him and George Blanda side by side at 43 years old. About the obviously explanation for this is that George planned to use the Botox in his knee. So
I loved that was one of the pictures that just yielded so many wonderful replies. My initial take was seeing George Blanda standing next to Tom Brady. It was that George Blanda never had a cup of coffee that wasn't served black around a campfire.
with a cigarette after he had rustled
cattle all day long.
Yes, exactly. So speaking of Tom Brady, this is probably going to be an unpopular take, and you tell me if you think it's going to be an unpopular take or not. But I am not rooting for Tom Brady. And I want to root for Tom Brady, honestly. And I wrote, when they picked up Antonio Brown, I wrote a column and I said, sorry, I can't root for Tom Brady. But that was early in the season. A lot has changed, and he stunk back then, so it was easy to say that. But right now, even with this guy making history, playing so well, I can't help the way I feel. I can't help the way I feel. I appreciate what Tom Brady is doing, but I can't help the way I feel. And when the game is on tomorrow, I am going to be rooting against him.
And that's not because you're a card-carrying member of Who Dat Nation. You know, you're nobody sees Bradfo and then immediately thinks like, oh, what time's the Saints game on? Yes. This is because it just doesn't look right. Bradfo, I'm only rooting for Tom Brady tomorrow, me, the guy who basically made a career out of cheering for Tom Brady, professing my obsessive love for him and creating content in and around him to a point where when I met his family, they were like, oh, man, you're a lunatic. But thanks so much for having Tommy's back all these years. We appreciate it. It's at a point now for me, I just don't get the same feelings. And it's because I realize that it kind of hurts to see him go away. Yes, this just in, everybody, grown adults, or at least people who age-wise say they have to play the part of an adult but still are kind of fan children at their heart. These things bother us. I wish the man nothing but the best considering what he did for the team, for the region. There's no person with the last name that wasn't like Washington or Adams or Standish who did more for New England in the past 400 years than Tom Brady. But honestly, I see him in the Tampa uniform, nothing. I don't feel anything. It doesn't do anything for me.
No.
Brady goes long to Mike Evans, hooray. If I had Evans starting on my fantasy roster that day, then it means something. Otherwise, it doesn't do anything for me.
Why couldn't Ryan Fitzpatrick have come along a few years ago? How old's your son?
Almost 8.
Okay, 8 years ago. So it could have been Fitzy mm-hmm. Stevens.
I mean, Fitzy Stevens.
But as people know, you have, like you said, you have a spot near and dear for Brady, as a lot of people. I mean, if you want to go down the list of the registry in Massachusetts and New England of the people who've named their kids after Brady. Steve Pierce, World Series MVP. His brother named his kid after Brady, and but he doesn't call him Brady. He calls him Tommy. That's his nickname, Tommy. And so he's doubled down on this. But my thing, Fitzy, isn't so much that. And I get it. Like, that's where most of the people are coming from. It feels weird. You look at him, it doesn't feel right. My thing is that I can't get past how weird he became. I can't. I still can't get past how weird he became. And I would say, even if he was playing for the Patriots, I would still say he became weird. That's it. That's my take on it. He's not the same Tom Brady that I knew when I was just a young lad.
Now, Bradford, when do you think the sort of evolution of Brady's character, his ascension to otherworldly celebrity, to not just Tom Brady person, Tom Brady football player, but Tom Brady persona,
Guerrero.
Tom Brady
Guerrero.
Entity, Tom, yeah. See, that's the thing, too. I feel like it's this weird combination of Guerrero with the frustration and tension that he felt with Belichick. Somewhere after Super Bowl 51, everything that Seth Wickersham, who everyone raced to discredit, but kind of didn't just knock it out, not really knock it out of the park, but kind of had his finger on the pulse of a bunch of different storylines and heartbeats in that famous ESPN piece, or rather, I should say, infamous piece. That's around that time when I think things change. And it didn't mean that I had any fewer feels watching Tom Brady on the field. I can watch Super Bowl 52 highlights, as frustrating as that game was, when Brady to Gronk in the second half was just thoroughly unstoppable. Knowing how Brady was sort of ascending to this person who didn't drive a regular car but drove a $300,000 Aston Martin, and you know, he and Giselle drink space water or concussion water, and you know, they neither of their faces move less than their you know, wallet, because they have so much money it just regenerates all the time. Like, that's fine.
I wish I could do that.
I know. It would be wonderful. No matter how much you spend, you actually can't, like, you never lose money because you have that much. Yeah, I mean, dude, Bradfoe, she has $500 million for being a beautiful power walker. Like, he picked the right wife. They're an incredible super couple, but they're almost like aliens at this point. No, they're not aliens, but you know, they're just those people that are just like long gone. They belong to the beautiful people, to that upper stratosphere.
Which, by the way, wasn't the perception or how we accepted Tom Brady for the majority of his career here, right?
No.
He was the gritty gutty guy who would never say, I wouldn't be caught dead in the Northeast and all of that. And so when you talk about the timeline, it's complicated, because I do think that Guerrero, as I said, Guerrero has a big part of this. And it really, for me, it started with, whether you want to say I think it was the Boston Magazine or something. Yeah, I think it was a Boston Magazine story on him. And then Kirk, Jerry, and Dino, they had him on, and they had that 40-minute conversation about Guerrero, where clearly this was something that he wanted to talk about more than ever before. Mm-hmm. And it was a side of Brady that we hadn't seen. But because before that, Fitzy, we had Uggs. That's what we had.
Yep.
We had Uggs, and maybe what was the watch? What was the watch that he was a sponsor for?
Was he a Movado guy?
Yeah, something.
I think he was a Movado guy for a while, and then he became like a Tag Heuer.
Yeah. So, but it was Uggs. Okay. And we're sitting there thinking.
And we defended him. Bradfoe, my dad one Christmas like 15 years ago gave me as a joke gift, although probably not considering my dad's favorite spray was Tag, followed shortly by Axe. My dad gave me a Tom Brady Stetson cologne sampler kit. I still have it in the box. I will never unbox it.
What an aphrodisiac that is. Oh my goodness.
I just show it to women and I say 9 months from now you'll thank me.
So, but we had that. We had Uggs, and we celebrated Tom Brady for that. And then all of a sudden, he's talking about Guerrero, and he's talking about this lifestyle, and he's talking about, and we're like, oh, this is interesting. We're starting to see a little bit more about Tom Brady, and this is clearly what he wants to do. But then the sponsors started piling up. The advertisers started piling up. All of a sudden, you got learned more about Alex Guerrero. You saw more about Alex Guerrero. You had Guerrero walk off the field at halftime with Chris Hogan asking about his injury while the trainer's sitting there. What? And then you had Tom Brady on a yacht throwing to another yacht. And you had all of this.
He played more yacht ball that offseason than he did work with his own receivers.
Yes,
that was
wild. In all white. And it's you had all of that. Okay, fine, but we still accepted Tom Brady for it is what it is because he's here and we like the fact he's good for business, he's good for cheering. That's great. He's a New England Patriot. But when he goes to Tampa, he kind of, for me, takes it to another level. And I'm sorry, this is just how I feel. And most people would say, who cares? Just appreciate him and thank him for everything he did. But I can't help it. Whether it was the FDR quote, whether it was the, hey, I'm going to try to really push TB12 stuff in everybody's face down there because it's a whole new market and that's what I'm prioritizing. Whether it's Antonio Brown and that's when I wrote the column, Fitzy. How can we ignore this? How can we ignore what a scumbag Antonio Brown was and Tom Brady to say, hey, come on. And let's not pretend. Listen, if Antonio Brown sucked, he wouldn't be living at Tom Brady's house, right? I mean, we can agree with that. And so, like, all of that, and it all became Tom Brady found this new world, found this new lifestyle, found a new image, is now in Billionaire's Bunker with his boat, which we get the name wrong every time I say it. But we have all that. That is not the Tom Brady that I knew, and I can appreciate Tom Brady for what he's doing, and I will appreciate because it's insane how well he is still playing despite all the analytics and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But all of this is leading me to my what I said at the beginning, which is when the game kicks off tomorrow, I will be rooting against Tom Brady. I can't help it. Sorry.
Wow. Did you ever think with all Tom Brady did for you?
He didn't do anything for me.
Well, no, meaning like, he never loaned you money. He never gave you investment advice. He never fixed your golf swing. I get it. Like, he never, you didn't move to his neighborhood and he didn't bring you over fresh, you know, a plate of sugar cookies or.
That you know of, yes.
Yes. Well, actually, it wouldn't have been sugar cookies. It probably would have been like monk fruit cookies or something. Or it would have been like, hey, Rob, Tom here. These have a really low glycemic index, plus there's a lot of fiber, so the net carb on these is actually a negative, which is great. Plus they're non-inflammatory, so no
rutabaga,
nightshades.
Delicious.
Anyway, take care. Buy TB12. Go Guerrero. So for everything that Tom Brady did, he didn't do it for us. He did it for himself, obviously, because he has that relentless, dogged spirit. He'll forever be pick number 199. Everything he accomplished, I should say, rather, and the feels, the joy that it brought us, the Foxborough feels, as I always call it, I will forever be grateful. There will probably be no other athlete, hell, no other celebrity, movie star, that I will enjoy the work of than the 20 years of Tom Brady with the Patriots. But his bizarre evolution, and I can't blame him for wanting to continue to play if this is the way he goes about his business, that's fine. And hey, if he wants to have... You know, if he wants to have the Tampa Bay years, go right ahead. But everything that's come with it, like the during the pandemic, pushing the elderberry pills, like the recovery, whatever he was calling those, Jesus, what was the name of the pills, like the Proof or Shield or
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know, but
it just all became so strange. And I sort of picked up on this, you know, in my dalliances down at the stadium and talking to other Patriot peoples. There's this feeling that a while ago when he was on the Patriots, as he got a little frustrated, that his agent, Don Yee, the man who famously at one point, I believe he still does, represented both Garoppolo and Brady, which is sort of what brought all that to another one of the major contributing factors that brought that to loggerheads a couple of years ago, that Don Yee said to the said to Brady, like, look, you're taking less money. OK, you know what? Then you're not going to be doing a lot of the other stuff. You're not going to be out there relentlessly promoting. You don't have to do all the other interviews. You don't have to do social media stuff. Because the more you do for them, you know, you give them an inch, they'll ask for a foot. You give them a foot, they'll ask for a yard. So when he goes down to Tampa Bay, it was probably in the deal, hey, if we're going to give you $25 million guaranteed for 2 years each, $50 million overall in a tax-free state, it's going to have to come with the following things to help us build the brand. Social media, videos, regular contributions online, appear like all this other stuff. And I know how frustrating that is to so many people. Like, guy, where was the other stuff? And now every time I mention that, there'll be somebody in my mentions, Bradfo, that'll be like, shut up, dude. Six Super Bowls. Enough said. All right.
Well,
fine. I just, you know, when was there ever too much Tom Brady in your life?
Well, I would ask those people, and we got to go to a break coming up here. 617-779-7937. I see everybody lined up. Are you rooting for Tom Brady? But I would ask those people. Those people you're talking about in your mentions, that's fine. You can appreciate and thank Tom Brady for all of that. But you can't forget. You can't forget like what you're talking about that last year or 2 years about this whole idea that Tom Brady, great teammate, and he's going to do anything to win and so forth and so on. I'm sorry, it doesn't add up. Not going to OTAs, not doing that those sort of things. You know, having a problem or having a fit because Alex Guerrero isn't allowed on the sidelines anymore. And then saying, oh, I'm the most miserable person of all time because, you know, who's 8-0. All of that is not, he was not being a good teammate. And then going on Howard Stern and saying, hey, listen, I'm not going to throw to guys I don't want to throw to. Like, all of that, like you can defend him and say, well, they didn't have any weapons and this is just how it was and Belichick was making it frustrating for him. Well, I'm sorry, that is the last image that we have. And now the image that we have is the guy who is basically saying, if you do the TB12 method, there's a good chance you're not going to get COVID. He didn't come out and say that, disclaimer, but that was the vibe that he was giving off throughout all those workouts and everything else. It's a completely different image, and it wasn't the image that he was giving with your New England Patriots, which you thought he was all in on. And that's right. One of the biggest problems.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it feels like you'd see me in a Ken O'Brien jersey before you see Tom Brady wearing, like, a mask. Like, I know he's, you know, I've seen it, like, once or twice in social media before, but, like, that just goes against the brand entirely, and it is a little disappointing. You know, and I don't believe that we're necessarily nitpicking here, Bradfo, but we have followed along with such detail for so long.
It's hypocritical. He's being a hypocrite.
Yes, there is some hypocrisy to it because Brady preached team above all for so long with his actions and his words. And then it felt like he started to make it more about him. And even though he was the greatest player in franchise history and probably always will be, it's weird that it became, you know, that he pulled his two favorite, he chose those two letters out of team. Like, there's no I in team, but there's an M and an E, and Brady seemed to focus on him those last couple of years, and that bothered me because I loved nothing more than the fact that he looked like he was always willing to die for his teammates. And yes, he's given maximum effort in Tampa Bay these days, Bradfo, but sometimes it feels like he's doing it more for himself
than
anything else.
Fitzy, you know how I know it? It's all about him or not all about him. That's unfair. And I'm not rooting. I'm not saying Tom Brady is a bad person. I'm not saying that Tom Brady did.
He shouts out his teammates on his Instagram stories.
We're just taking the facts and how I feel about, like, when I watch the game tomorrow. But you brought it up. Is this more about him? Is he being selfish? And you know how I know he's being selfish? Because Antonio Brown came back. Antonio Brown lived in his house. He welcomed Antonio Brown back. And I'm sorry if he's bad, if Antonio Brown wasn't a good player, he wouldn't have done that. He did that because he knows that that was going to get him to where he needed to go, where he wanted to go, the Super Bowl. Am I wrong about that?
You are 100% correct.
Okay.
He brought the bad seed back. Again, made all of us compromise our morals or whatever our wants and wishes were last year to root for a guy we knew we would never even let into our own house and were ashamed, would be ashamed to be associated with. And then he brings him back. on his soft landing all-star team. Now, see, now you're getting me all fired up.
Now,
this, I'm all
this,
off
we'll
about
save
Brady
it. Let's
Tampa.
Do it. Let's do it because this is what it's all about. The playoffs, we can't just say, oh, the Browns and, you know, the
Browns. Who they say going to beat them Saints?
Yeah. Like, but this is what's great about this. And I thank Tom Brady for that, this, because he has delivered the passion in a passionless season for the Patriots. Let's be honest. Yeah. It's been a passionless season. He's delivered the passion. So we're going to keep this going. 617-779-7937. I see everybody lined up. Nick, Fitzy, Stevens, I'm Rob Bradford. Be back right after this.
Drive home with OMF. Weekday afternoons 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. First and foremost, do we have an update on Miles Wood's teeth situation?
I believe he entered the game with as many teeth as he still has.
Okay, all right. We'll keep everybody updated on
very
that.
Good.
What do we have a score?
Actually, not much to update with the Bruins yet. Still nothing. 6 minutes left in the first period. The only difference is Halak's in net instead of Rask.
Fitzy, you know who the winner is so far?
America?
No, the winner... the great game of hockey. America is a close second.
Oh,
so
the great game, of course. The hockey, in the end, hockey always wins,
exactly,
doesn't it, Bradfield?
Exactly. In the other sports, Celtics handled the Orlando Magic last night, 124-97. Celtics had six players in double figures. Jaylen Brown led all scorers with 21. Celtics are now 8-3 in the season. We'll host the Knicks tomorrow for a 1 p.m. matinee at the Garden.
Bradfield, I got to mention real quick. I know we're going to get into the Celtics later because holy smokes, is this team likable? But early front runner, like clubhouse leader, and I know we're only 2 weeks into the new year, for top 10 sports moment of the year, Taco Fall for three.
Oh, my goodness, right? Right?
The reaction of the bench alone gave me such joy. I'm still getting the garden tingles.
I love talking about the Celtics, and there's a lot to talk about with this team. And it was sort of like the sad trombone when they stopped, because it was like, oh man, we had so much momentum, Peyton Pritchard, everything else. But Taco reunited everything last night. But yeah, so it was awesome. So anyway, NFL divisional weekend is upon us, and WEEI is your home for all the games today, right after this show. The Los Angeles Rams travel to the Green Bay Packers later tonight. It's the Ravens at the Bills kickoff at 8:15, right here, by the way, on 93.7 FM. WEEI's coverage of the NFL players is brought to you in part by the Massachusetts Paid Family Medical Leave Program. Adam Schefter reports this morning that current Bills offensive coordinator Brian Daboll has emerged as the front runner for the Los Angeles Chargers head coaching job. Last time I checked, Brian Daboll is not spelled the same as Josh McDaniels. Speaking of sad trombones. Well, that is what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
More of what you want to hear. Laird and Fitzy on EEI.
And you have the ball at a 17-yard line. Well, that's two shots into the end zone. Now, if you catch this ball in play, you got to get out of bounds or you got to score.
All right, Fitzy. I'm Rob Bradford.
Every time I hear that, Bradfo.
Was that Kimbrel Tompkins?
That was the Tompkins play.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe I pulled that. Like, I had no idea what that sound was. All I knew it was probably going to be Tom Brady. And then I heard Tompkins, and I'm like, Kimbrel Tompkins. Wow. Wow. That was a good day. That was the day that Ortiz Grand Slam as well, I think, right?
Bradfo, that was, that's, you know, there's a highlight of
when people doubt Tom Brady and against the New Orleans Saints, no less. Number one, as my buddy Bryson pointed out on Twitter earlier. Number two, there's the Tom Brady who, as frustrated as he may have been with the weaponry surrounding him in 2013, found a way to get it done, that he put the team on his back and led one of the most improbable drives of all time, and they celebrated as a team, even though he obviously did the improbable, the impossible that day. And three, that was arguably non-Super Bowl greatest Sunday over the, I'd say this century. You have the Tompkins comeback after the Saints have just been sitting on the Patriots, you know, basically just sitting on their head all day long. They led that game box to wire to the final 20 seconds. And then you have after that, after the Red Sox, by the way, it was the 2013 American League Championship Series, Bradford. Remember the night before, Anibal Sanchez like basically blanked the Red Sox the night before.
Two five-inning no-hitters.
That's right. Yeah, so they get basically almost like no-hit the night before. And then the next night, they can't score at all. And then, what was it, Fernando Rodriguez? Was that the reliever who came? Fernando Rodney?
No. Who, Ortiz hit the grand slam off?
Yeah, who did he hit that off of?
Was it Joaquin Benoit? Yeah.
Might have been Benoit.
Yeah.
Yep. Hits the grand slam.
By the way, a little known fact.
Mm-hmm.
They had that he was tipping his pitches. He knew a changeup was coming.
You're kidding.
Nope.
Wow.
I was told that they had his pitches. They had his changeup in particular. I should say this, like different hitters use it in different ways. Mm-hmm. Like Ortiz, some guys just don't want to pay attention to that. But I know that the scouting report, the Red Sox scouts, they had Joaquin Benoit's changeup. And
unbelievable. Yeah. Boy, the Sox, you know, for everybody who wants to point to the Alex Cora time, the initial Alex Cora time in 2018 coming off his 2017 sort of tainted season with the Astros and say like, oh, yeah, come on, it's New England. You know, Belichick taught everyone how to cheat. This is what the whole region's been doing for decades. I'd like to point out that in 2007, the Red Sox almost knew every pitch the Rockies were throwing because their scouting was so good and their advanced scouts were like just so on top of it. And they knew exactly what to throw them. That's why they won that series 4-0 going away. And then in 2013, to hear that again, that's one of the reasons why the Red Sox were able to turn the ship around after 86 years of frustration and become so good for so long.
We'll talk about the pitch dipping at the in 3:05. But it's
what a day. That Sunday was the best. It was, those days for us, they're gone.
And so you talked about with Brady about the celebration with teammates and all of that. And another part of this equation, which we touched on, which was Brady's last year or really his last couple years, and the whole dynamic of no OTAs. And I heard plenty of people screaming and yelling, what's the big deal? OTAs don't mean anything. Didn't you see him? He threw a pass in Montana in the backyard. Like, okay, if I'm a teammate of Tom Brady, I understand that you're upset. I understand they kick your guy off the sideline. I understand you're not making as much money as you want to. But the fact of the matter is, if you were built on being a good teammate, that stuff is not being a good teammate. Am I wrong? Like that, what we saw, that was not being a good teammate.
No, back then, no, it wasn't. And then it leads me to thinking about the way that he's been since he's gone to Tampa Bay, right? And now the whole Tampa Bay experience and how, like, sure, they'll say, like, Scotty Miller, Cameron Brait, some of these other pass catchers will tell you, like, oh, he's been a consummately, like, a great teammate. He's awesome. You know, like, I learn stuff from him every day. Like, he's the GOAT for a reason.
He also had workouts near the jungle gym at some park where he wouldn't even go to OTAs, you know?
Oh, and you mean when he would conveniently have a news crew show up when Brady was playing pitch and catch in the park with his buddies during the peak of the COVID peak 1.0?
Exactly. Yeah, taking the TB12 gummies, saying that'll fend off the COVID. Absolutely.
It was Protect. That's the name of the thing. So, there's the thing, like when he would do this before Bradfo, I would always be the first one to jump up and say like, yeah, he's doing it because he's Tom Brady and he's the ultimate teammate. And that's what he does. TFB, you know, LFG, let's go Pats. We're all going to get lubed and watch Brady Sunday. And now, you know what I think? All he's doing is trying to get the most out of these guys so he can shove it in Belichick's face, win a seventh, have everybody, you know, treat him like a deity and just do it for reasons that seem to fly in the face of that dogged New England, you know, as you know, all, rising tide raises all boats kind of approach. It just feels, it flies in the face of what we bought into, defended him over, and celebrated for so long. And I think that's why it bothers
us. You know, another subtle thing, and we're going to get to the calls in a second, but another subtle thing is Tom Brady wasn't good last year. I mean, he was okay. He was okay, right? Am I wrong about that? He was okay. Oh,
is it time to play another exciting round of Was It Brady or Was It
Weapons? No, I hate no. No, even
it's the stupidest
even,
game in the world.
No, I will not do that. But he was okay. And part of it, I think, you know, this guy needs to be motivated. This guy needs to like basically have something, as you said, to I'm going to show everybody. And really, like, I get it. Everyone needs motivation, but let's not be blind to that either. He had his best year after they draft Jimmy Garoppolo. That's no coincidence.
Boy, howdy.
Right?
Boy, howdy. His best 3 years in a Patriot uniform outside of 2007, Bradfoe, were after they drafted Garoppolo. Why? Because he was mad. It
right.
pissed him off. And he got pushed again. He got quicker on his feet. His footwork was better. That's when the pliability, becoming more limber, working on his accuracy and his arm strength, all like he became a better, smarter, quicker, more well-rounded quarterback because he thought his job was at
okay.
stake.
So he was motivated then. Jimmy Garoppolo was that guy, was the motivation then. This time around, it was exactly what you said. I'm going to show everybody. I'm going to show, put the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick in the rear view. You're not going to let my guy on the sideline. I'm going to show you why it's so important that Alex Guerrero is right there standing next to Bruce Arians. All of that. And that's fine. Everybody needs to be motivated, but I'm sorry, but all of that is lumped together on why tomorrow I will not be rooting for Tom Brady. It's all in my head. It's all in my noggin. I can't let it out.
Can I ask you this, too? After the way Brady left, like, it bothered me. I mean, I knew he was gone. I was saying all fall long when I was working on the Greg Hill show and we did the Monday interviews with him that he sounded different at the press conferences. He had this look in his eyes like, oh, man, you guys don't realize with every Friday press conference I do with you, that's one fewer. I'm one quicker to getting to the end. I am done here. I knew it was going to happen. And Fourier and I were the first two guys around who were on the Tampa Bay thing, because why wouldn't he want to go to a fantasy team, an all-star team in waiting? But all of that stuff made too much sense. I got to say, like, again, he owes us nothing. He owes us nothing because of how well he played and how much he accomplished for the laundry, for the team that, you know, forever a Patriot. His famous words on St. Patrick's Day, which, by the way, is ruined forever. Thanks, Tom. By the way, the world went to complete crap ever since Brady left, but that's fine. As Nostradamus prophesied so well.
Coincidence?
We think not. But you know what? I got to say, as he's down there in Tampa, you know, he said he called the Patriots they in his press conference immediately after losing to the Titans in the wild card round. And as he's been down there, like, you know, like, go Bucks and doing everything. Yeah, that's the team he's playing for now. He doesn't care about them. This is a rental team. He's on an all-star team to pad his stats and try to prove a few more things to show that he's the greatest. We already know he's the greatest of all time. Maybe once or twice during the season, you know, just like something on Twitter, just a little shout out. How you doing, Pats Nation? Like, just checking in on my friends back up there. You know, I'm here now. I'm doing my thing. Like, it's so funny how focused he gets because he has to emotionally divorce himself from anything else altogether that may have caused that inspiration, Bradfoe. You know, as I wrote about on .com a while ago, like the Patriots kind of did Brady a favor and lighting a fire under his ass and letting him go. It's so weird how he can't just, like, it's all rear view. There's no, like, yeah, I still love those guys. Just
you won't catch me dead living in the Northeast.
Yeah, I mean.
Now that I hear that comment, it pisses me off.
Well, that was a whole nother conversation. I would say it's not a big deal. But he's a smart guy. He's a smart guy. He measures his words. And to your point, you can just say, I just don't like the cold up there. That's okay.
That's it.
You don't have to say you won't be caught dead in the Northeast. And you know what really turned the corner for him? When he got his paycheck and he saw that taxes weren't taken out. All right, so let's get to the phone calls. Let's go to Allison in Cambridge. Allison, how are you?
Hi, guys. I love you guys. You guys are great. Rob Bradford, you were saying exactly everything. You were hitting all my points. And when you were talking and laying out the reasons of why I am not rooting for Tom Brady tomorrow and why I have not been rooting for him this year, it struck me that he has sold his soul to the devil and he hasn't had to. It reminds me of Roger Clemens taking steroids. Roger Clemens didn't need to do that. Tom Brady didn't need to do that. He's the greatest of all time, and he has such a wonderful character and everything, and he's just totally, I mean, when I see him play, he doesn't look like himself. I mean, sometimes in interviews, like, he still seems like kind of the sweet and humble Tom Brady, but mostly he looks plastic. He looks like a Ken doll.
But that's not, and Allison, that's not the guy, what you described. Right or wrong, that is not the guy that Fitzy, myself, everybody else, grew up watching Tom Brady as. You know, he was a different guy. He was one of us. And I'm sorry, the plastic and everything else that you just said, that is part of the equation. It just got too weird for me.
It's too weird. And the thing for me that really totally, I mean, the FDR, I'm so glad you brought up the FDR quote, because people don't realize, I mean, that just really hurt me, because FDR said what he said, because we're fighting Nazism, we're fighting fascism. There's nothing to fear but fear itself. And when you're talking about a pandemic, first of all, a pandemic is something we should be fearful of, and we should all do the right thing to protect ourselves and protect everyone in the planet.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny.
Thanks,
because,
Allison,
thank you for the call. It's funny because there are two Roosevelt quotes that Brady has used in social media to his benefit the last couple of years. And one I so get behind, and it's something I've used as a bit of a mantra as well, Bradfo, in dealing with the way people like to criticize you when you're on the radio or you do TV, whatever else. And that's the famous Teddy Roosevelt man in the arena speech. You know, and other teammates of his like Amendola and others have adopted it as well. The whole idea that, you know, to hell with the critics, because until you've done what I've done, then you don't get to criticize me. Like, it's very easy to be on the outside of the arena and criticize someone. But unless you're actually in the arena doing the work, the combat, the game, then you don't get to criticize. Or if you do, it doesn't bother me. And that's what I love. That's the Teflon nature of Tom, not the Teflon nature of his face now in his Go Bucks videos that I love so much. But the FDR, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Ugh, I
well,
hated
especially
that.
When,
hated that.
And, you know, and not even taking too deep of a dive into it, which is, if we did, as Allison points out, it's a really bad look. It was a bad look because you're not wearing a mask, you're going out and working out, and you're insinuating that we don't have to worry about this virus when everybody, including the Players Association, just released a statement saying, don't do this. So
exactly.
Anyway, I mean, I don't, and I want to make this perfectly clear. My road that I'm going down and not rooting for Tom Brady tomorrow has zero to do with laundry. It has zero to do with laundry. It's everything else I was talking about. Before we go to break, let's go to Jake in Boston. Jake, what's going on?
Oh, boy. Hello, Jake.
With you today. So we're going to go after Bradford. Rob, you're a clown. Go ask Bob Kraft why it was okay that Antonio Brown had to face the consequences of his actions, but the rich old white dude who spent eight figures suppressing a video denies any sort of accountability in his incident when any person of color who did the same thing would have been hammered for it.
Stop, Jake. I mean, stop right there, okay? I have no idea what you're talking about. You are taking such a leap of faith right now. There's nothing... What you just said in whatever that 15-second was has absolutely zero to do with anything that we've been talking about. So I'm going to let you hold on, Jake. Jake, I'm going to hang up on you in a second. I'm going to let you reset. Stop reading off the script. Stop getting your talking points in order. And if you want to talk about something pertinent to what we're talking about and give examples other than something forced like that, go ahead. Go.
Don't blame Antonio Brown without looking at Bob Kraft and what he did after Orchids of Asia.
They both did wrong.
They
both did wrong.
He's a human being.
So, okay, can I say they both did wrong? Jake, you would agree with me that what Antonio Brown, quote unquote, allegedly did, and some not allegedly did, was far worse than anything that Robert Kraft did. Yes.
Incorrect, because Robert Kraft has been championing social justice for, what, the last 4 years now? Goes and rescues Meek Mill from prison. There is no person of color, there's no poor person who would have done what Robert Kraft did to avoid accountability in Florida. Now, listen, I want to talk about Patty Bruschi's comments here and how they relate to the situation, because I think you're all missing the point. I think this is about the rare exception that Tom Brady deserved as an athlete with six rings, with six championships rings, the greatest of all time. And I hate to break it to you guys and to Teddy, The Patriots' success is due to oppression. To quote, you know, Paris Geller from Geller, the greatest art is created under oppression. It was the 2003 and 2004 Patriots where Bill ruled them like an iron fist. It is a system which is not individualistic, but there is a point. And there have been other athletes who have been dealt with oppressive governments, like Katarina Witt. Katarina Witt won 2 Olympic gold medals and was bigger than the East German system. And Tom Brady had that type of privilege and that type of power. And Pelé had the same deal because Pelé was bigger than Brazil's oppressive military government. These guys refused to appreciate that Tom Brady was bigger than the system. And they had to bend down to it. They had to bow down to him. Otherwise, this was going
to
happen.
What's that have to do with whether or not I'm going to root for him tomorrow? What has nothing to do. I'm not rooting for Katarina Witt either, by the
it's
way.
It's a democracy, Bob.
She's a terrific skater. Lovely person.
It's a democracy, Rob. You can root for whoever you want. What I'm saying is you're wrong because you don't see
why
it.
Why can't I appreciate what Tom Brady did and have a problem with what he's done?
Because you still owe Tom Brady.
I don't owe Tom Brady anything.
Jake, hold on. My God, do you get fired up, guy. What... And by the way, you're a Boston sports fan, I gather. But at the same time, it seems like you take absolutely no joy in any of this, even if we can agree to disagree on a number of different topics or digressions. What is it that we... Hold on. Hey, I'm, as I've said time and again, the Foxborough fanboy, the super fan, a Tom Brady stan, whatever you want to say, however you want to describe me, what else do we owe Tom Brady aside from the allegiance and the money and the love and the adoration that we showed him for 20 years, Jake?
Sissy, I think you got it. As the season went on, you got it. You understood what left the building here in March. Some of us saw the light immediately. We never took Tom Brady for granted. People like Rob Bradford did, and that's why they're butt hurt right now.
Wait a second. Jake, you're making a fool of yourself because your arguments are stupid and misguided. All right? So when you say that I took him for granted, no, I didn't. I just said a million times, I appreciated everything he did. He was great for business. Hold on, Jake. 1 second. He was great for business, and I said, I appreciate what he's doing right now. But I can't help that I'm rooting against him tomorrow for the things that I laid out because I feel like in the last whatever year, couple years, that the Tom Brady that I had came to appreciate so much had changed to the point where we are right now. I can't help that, Jake, but that doesn't mean that I don't appreciate him.
You stabbed yourself in the back on for a 7-9 football team with a black social justice quarterback that you and Allison from Cambridge can get excited about. That's what you turned your back on. You didn't know what you had.
All right, Jake, it's been fun. Buddy. Wow. Okay, hold on. And this is so insane. A black social justice quarterback, as Jake just referred to Cam Newton. I'm sorry. If that got so ridiculous, our apologies for entertaining Jake so long and giving him a much longer leash than
he
deserved.
Yeah, but
he always finds
a way
to wrap it around his own neck.
I never get a chance to make him look foolish.
Right.
You know?
All of us, please, just because people started to tune out on the Patriots because Cam, post-COVID, the team fell apart. The deficiencies in the roster Belichick built showed themselves. It was a tougher schedule. Cam wasn't able to replicate what they did over the first 3 games. Maybe he was injured. Who knows? It is that season now. It's the bridge season. It's the post-Brady season. It's super disappointing. As Coach says, stop me if you heard this before. It is what it is, and it is over. And we get it. And it wasn't as exciting as anything Tom Brady did. But I'm still a Patriots fan. I've been rooting for this team my whole life. And I'm a Tom Brady fan. And I rooted for him harder than anybody else forever. Do I wish the man well in all of his endeavors? Of course. Do I have the same fervor, fire, and passion as I used to for him? No, I don't. And I'm entitled to those feelings. And it has nothing to do with a massage parlor, Antonio Brown, or Cam Newton's social justice pursuits. End of scene.
Much like Jake, I like Tom Brady personally, but ... All right, we got to go to a break.
Got to watch those ellipses, right,
Brett? Yeah, exactly. Yes. Thank you for reading my email. 617-779-7937. We'll be back right after this.
We're right back to it. This is Laird and Fitzy on EEI.
All right, it's Fitzy and Laird. I'm Rob Bradford. No Laird. That's okay. He gets some well-deserved time off.
Yes, he does. One of the hardest working men, perhaps kind of always deserving of consideration of a Bradfo media star, at least at WEEI.
He has won a media star before.
He almost should be retired, like in perpetuity. Ken's a hustler.
Hard worker.
What do you mean retired? Oh, the media
retire
star
number.
Oh,
yeah, retire his number.
Oh, speaking of which actually is not speaking of which, but whatever. We have an update. We efforted to find out the Miles Wood teeth situation. We don't have any updates on his teeth, but we do have this. He scored a goal, right? Correct?
Yeah, it's 1-0 New Jersey, and he scored. So he scored 2 goals in 2 games against the Bruins so
that
so
means
far. He's definitely going to be one of the bigger pains in the butt that they have to deal with this season.
Manchester, by the sea's own, has as many missing teeth as he does goals. I can confirm.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. Well, look at you. Wow. You jammed out that math on your own without a scratch pad?
Oh, I needed the abacus, so to be fair. All right, let's go to the phone calls. Leo and Franklin. Leo, how are you, my friend?
Hey, how you guys doing
good
today?
Good,
Leo.
I don't think you're being completely fair about Tom Brady having a bad season last year. He went 12-4, and I believe he had 24 touchdowns to 7 interceptions. And, again, he never left his team in the wrong side of the field with turnovers. He was accepted a running game. And he won 12 games with as poor weapons as any 12-win quarterback I've ever seen.
I said he was okay. I didn't say he had a bad season. I just said he was – I think his quarterback rating was the worst he had since 2013, if I'm –
And Leo, one thing that we always try to keep in mind whenever we make such statements, as outrageous as some people may find them to be, is that Brady has always been judged unfairly because it's like the way Gronk gets officiated on the field. He's officiated because of how much bigger he is than other tight ends and his size and strength. Brady has always been judged against his own success. So when you say like, oh, it's kind of a crappy year for Brady. Yeah, when you compare it to other seasons of Tom Brady getting bumped in the wild card and going 24-8. That's an okay season. But yeah, we have to understand, you know, tough schedule, the weaponry, et cetera, but he just wasn't able to elevate them last year. And as Bradfoe said earlier, I kind of think part of it was like, all right, I've done enough here. I'll wait. I'll turn the Jets back on next year when I go somewhere else, like the Chargers or ultimately Tampa.
And when you say that Newton had a great first 3 games here, I believe it was the second game of the year at Seattle. After the game, the media asked how he felt he was doing, and he said it's a great success. Just look at the results on the field. Well, the results were a loss, and it was a very winnable game. And he had the ball in his hands, I think, and fumbled on the last play. Brady would have been outraged by that loss and accepted blame. He would have never put a positive.
Oh, wait a second, Leo. Like Tom Brady would have accepted blame, like when he forgot how many downs there were this year. I mean,
I agree with Leo. Bradfoe, it's a great point. I agree with Leo that Brady would have been outraged, and I don't love. And I know, and I've heard from one in many a fan that I'd speak to and text with and watch games regularly, that one of the things that did bother them about Cam was his willingness to accept statistical success and, you know, victories after elimination and celebrating, doing the Superman, you know, when you're down 3 touchdowns and you score a touchdown. Like, you know, the stat that mattered most, which, of course, he would always say when he paid great lip service on the Greg Hill show, that the only stat that mattered was the W. But sometimes he did get a little ahead of himself as far as the stats went. But I agree there. But you know, Brady accepting the blame, uh-uh.
All right, Tony in Bridgewater. Hey, Tony, how are you?
Tony? We're still 30 days for spring training.
Well, we think.
Whatever. You guys sound like, you know, spurned boyfriends, you know, like Brady gained a pound. That's what you guys sound like, yeah.
That would never happen.
I'm one of the only three. Well, to me, honest to God, it's like the higher the pedestal, the longer the fall. And I'm one of the guys that says, I don't blame Kraft for not wanting to write $50 million check to a 43-year-old guy. I don't blame Belichick for wanting to move forward like he did 4 years ago. And I don't blame Brady for wanting to prove he still got something in the tank. But why do we have to bash these people? Tom Brady, to me, like, I don't got posters of him up on my wall. But he gave me 20 years of pure glee. And I'll take one bad year for the Patriots out of 20 every single time. But why do we have to nitpick at this guy about his personality? Who cares?
Yeah, well, I would just say this. I don't begrudge you for going down that road because I can understand where people say, well, how dare you, but he gave all this and he's moved on. Good for him. All I can tell you, Tony, is what I've been saying. which is I appreciate what Tom Brady did here. I appreciate what he's doing now. But when I watch the game, I am not rooting that he wins the game. That's just me because of all the things that I laid out. It's nothing to do with how great he was here, everything he did. I mean, this, I've already documented all the things.
You're talking about his personality. That's what you've been talking about for the last hour. Let me tell you something. How were you 20 years ago? Everybody's changed. Everybody changes.
Right, like, but I'm not. I don't think he's changed for the better. That's my problem.
But see what I'm talking about? You worked for a newspaper 20 years ago. Were you good for that news? Maybe you were. Maybe you weren't. But you're different than what you are now. You think it's different what you are now. So why do we have to bash him for that? Why? I don't get it. I never understood that. We bash these guys. We put them up on a pedestal, then we knock them down. Well, why can't we just be happy with the last 20 years and you know, good luck, Tom? Why?
First, Tony, correct, in Bridgewater?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. First of all, Tony, I'd like to introduce you to a little place called New England where we're never happy about anything. Second of all, this is not one of those classic, like, you know, I'll go to the easy reference. Like, this isn't the Boston Globe doing a hit job on, like, you know, a Patriot story or like, somebody like the Francona Holler piece or something like that. This is from people that followed Tom Brady to an almost obsessive like detail, like we were private detectives. We did everything for this guy. We defended him to other people that attacked and said, oh, he's a cheater and Deflategate. We bought his products. We wore his jersey. You know, a Tom Brady jersey, you could wear it to a funeral, to a wedding. It was, you know, like Free Brady was the Roll Tide of New England. We did everything for the guy. And when there seems to be a little bit of a tenor or sea change, we should be in tune with it because of how well we know him. It doesn't mean we aren't grateful, but we shouldn't have to like suffer from idolatry and constant praise now. He's a little bit different. Okay, all the best. Good luck with this next iteration. And it's not the same, Bradfo, as when Joe Montana went to Kansas City because he was pushed out the door because they did have a succession plan with Steve Young, another Hall of Fame quarterback behind him. This time it was Brady and Belichick just looked at each other, or rather made phone calls to each other and said, I think we're good. And here we are.
Yeah, and you know, a little bit of the final salt in the wound, I'm sorry, is the whole, like, I wouldn't be caught dead in the Northeast thing. Can you imagine if Joe Montana in Kansas City said, I wouldn't be caught dead in that, living in that fog in San Francisco? I
mean, yeah, man, like, the marine layer can suck it. Like, what are you doing?
It's sort of like, you know, everything, there's a lot of this, and people can push back on this, and that's fine, but a lot of this is the Brady vibe of, hey, everybody, my life is so much better now than it was then. And in a nutshell, that's it. And that just doesn't sit right. Anyway, we got to go to a break. I do want to talk, Fitzy, about who, as long as we're going down the quarterback road, who is going to be the next Patriots quarterback? Because the top two things that we're in this market, the biggest conversation starters other than Taco Fall, is Tom Brady. And who is going to be the next Patriots quarterback and how they're going to get that quarterback. I have some of my favorite games. Two, who would say no trades for you? Two of them.
I'm here for it.
You know one, but you don't know the other. So after this break, we'll get to that.